in Acts 6, where they chose seven deacons. Doesn't call them deacons, but they were. Because if they weren't, we don't know what a deacon does. And we have the qualifications of a deacon in the New Testament. And if these weren't deacons, we have a office with qualifications with no description of their work. And so in Acts 6 are seven men who were to be chosen. Look out from among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I just want to talk for the next few minutes on Philip. I shared something with you from a sermon the other day that impressed me, that Acts is called Acts because it's the Acts of the Apostles, which probably is a misnomer. They probably ought to call it some of the Acts of some of the Apostles, because it doesn't tell us all that the Apostles did. Probably even a better name would just simply be the Acts of the Lord Jesus, because that's really what the book of Acts is doing. He said, in the former treatise I have made of thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do until the day he was taken up. And the book of Acts then is a continuation of what Jesus did after he was taken up into heaven. So really it's not the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Acts of the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. But here they chose these seven deacons, and one of them's name is Philip. And the thing I tried to impress upon you a few weeks ago is that as far as the written record is concerned, Stephen and Philip did more than nine of the other apostles. As far as Acts is concerned, what Philip and Stephen did was greater than what the other apostles did. The apostle said, I want you to choose seven men full of the Holy Spirit whom we may appoint over this business. We want to give ourselves to the word of God in prayer. But as far as Acts is concerned, what was done by these deacons. And Philip and Stephen did more in the book of Acts than nine of the other apostles did. And I tried to impress upon you that God can use men, not apostles, but men, just ordinary men, just deacons, ordinary men, to do great works. And Philip is a perfect example of that. He's ordained a deacon, but later on we find this man as a evangelist. And so my first point in this little devotion is that Philip and Stephen did more as a deacon than perhaps some of the apostles did as apostles. Maybe we give too much credit to the apostles, because as far as the historical inspired record is concerned, these two deacons did more than the apostles, than some of the apostles. The second thought is this here, that these men were ordained to be deacons, but they didn't stop with being deacons. They started preaching. They didn't just stay deacons. They got to preaching the word and got so wrapped up in the word of God that they became preachers. Now it's interesting to notice that the Bible says about a deacon that he can earn to himself a good degree. And these boys did. They went on. Not that it's not enough to be a deacon, but it's interesting when a man really gets involved in the word of God, how he's not content perhaps to just be a deacon, but maybe he wants to do a little bit more and go on into the ministry. Many, many men who are preachers today were at one time deacons. But there's a third lesson. He went down to Samaria and had a great revival. But in that great revival in Samaria, he had a bad aim. He converted a man, and he was converted. It said he believed and was baptized. And Peter didn't tell him he'd never been converted in the first place. You remember Simon the sorcerer tried to buy the Holy Spirit. I noticed that that bad convert didn't so overcome Philip that he stopped preaching.
Sometimes when we make a convert and one of our converts backslide, we end up getting criticized. Philip, you should have known that guy was a hypocrite in the first place. We get so criticized, and when the criticism comes, we just want to throw in the towel and stop. Philip didn't. Philip didn't let one of his bad converts keep him from continuing to preach. I like him for that. And then I notice he had this great revival in Samaria, but even though he had the bad convert, that didn't stop him from preaching. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to go down and talk to that one black man down there. After having a great revival in Samaria and winning many, God called him from preaching to many to go preach to one black man, and that was the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was content to be obedient and leave the preaching to many, the multitudes, to go preach to one man. And that's really the lesson that I get from this man, Philip. If God wants him to be a deacon, he'll be a deacon. If God wants him to preach, he'll preach. If he wants him to preach to a multitude, he'll preach. If he wants him to keep preaching after one of his converts backslides, he'll preach. If he wants him to preach to one black man out in the middle of the desert, he'll preach. But God doesn't always want you to be the one to do something. Have you ever noticed that God sent a man named Peter, who was all the way from Joppa, to Caesarea to talk to Cornelius? Do you know who lived in Caesarea? Philip did. Why in the world did he have to call Peter all the way down to preach to Cornelius? Wouldn't your feelings been hurt just a little bit if you would have been in Caesarea and he got someone from a long way off to come and talk to Cornelius instead of you? Doesn't seem to bother Philip that Peter was chosen to come down. Now, one reason, of course, is that Philip was not an apostle and could not have given the miraculous gifts, and he wouldn't have had the authority to decide whether or not to baptize him or not. But the fact remains, Philip's not upset that he didn't use him to convert Cornelius. Nor did he use Philip to baptize Paul. They laid the coats at a young man's feet named Saul, and Saul is the one that persecuted the church after Stephen had been killed. Why didn't God just have Philip to go over and talk to Paul and baptize Paul? Why did he let him get out of Jerusalem and away from Philip and be blinded on the road to Damascus? He could have just as easily blinded him in Jerusalem and let Philip baptize him in Jerusalem. Why get him out there in the middle of the desert and then blind him and then have another fellow named Ananias baptize him? But I don't find Philip complaining about that. But later on, what I do find is that God chose Paul to be the one who is going to take the gospel to the whole world, the Gentile world. Why didn't he use Philip? Philip's a Gentile. At least he's a Samaritan. He's a Greek. He was one of the seven, and they were all Greeks. Why didn't he use Philip to be the apostle of the Gentiles? He spoke their language. He could have just as easily done it as Paul. But I don't find Philip complaining. And then I find over in the book of Acts chapter 21, I find that Paul stopped by in Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with them. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And we tarried there, and it came down from Judea a certain prophet by the name of Agabus. And you remember how Agabus took Paul's girdle and said, whoever owns this girdle is going to be bound in Jerusalem. Why didn't he use Philip's daughters? Why did he have to have Agabus to come down and do it when he had four virgin daughters that prophesied and could have prophesied it just as easy as Agabus? Or Philip himself? Why didn't he allow Philip? He's staying in his home. Why does he have to have a prophet, Agabus, to come down from another town to do it? Now you're beginning to get my idea, aren't you? This man Philip was passed over as the baptizer of Paul. He's passed over as the apostle to the Gentiles. He's passed over as the one who would go and preach the gospel to Cornelius, even though he lives in the very town where that happened. He's passed over as the one that either his daughters or him give the message to Paul that he was going to be bound if he goes to Jerusalem. We find him hospitable. And he opens up the door to Paul, who he could have considered a rival, who had killed his best friend Stephen. And he opens up his house to him. Now, if there's not a lesson here for us, I don't know how to bring you a lesson. This man, Philip, is someone worthy of imitation. He is full of the Holy Spirit. He is full of wisdom. He grows from being a deacon to an evangelist. If God wants him to be a deacon, he'll be a deacon. God wants him to be a preacher, he'll preach. And if God doesn't want to use him, he won't get mad. And if he has a failure in his converts, he'll keep preaching. He doesn't care if he preaches to many or one. He doesn't care if someone else is exalted. And he's right there. Didn't upset him. Friends, let's be Phillips. Let's be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. You know what will happen when we're like that? The Word of God will increase and a great number of people will become obedient to the faith. Shall we pray? Father, help us to be Phillips. Help us to get just these little insights from his life and apply them to ourselves. Help us to not be jealous, envious, bitter men. Help us to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our song of invitation. Told you I could do it. We're going to sing our song of invitation, and that was the number that was picked. I surrender all, number 404. And if you're not a Christian tonight, if you're as committed as Philip, you'll surrender all. God will use you the way that he wants to use you. And he can use you if you're as committed as he is. As we stand and sing number 404, we invite you to obey the gospel.